great things happen when the strategy of the business and the individual's career objectives and career growth opportunities overlap.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to 2019. I am Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm glad to have you here today. It is a new year, and I'm very excited about what's on the horizon. I hope you are as well. Over the holiday break, what seemed like it would never happen finally happened, and my book was published. It's now available at Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, pretty much anywhere you can get a book these days. You can actually get a 20% discount on the website if you go to aihrbook.com for more information. I promised I would actually do a show on books, writing, publishing, that whole process at some point, and that's still on my to-do list. I haven't forgotten about that. So coming up, we actually have episodes and interviews on things like innovation and creativity, the top mistakes for HR technology implementations, and more. Really interesting ideas in the pipeline. I can't wait to share some of those. Speaking of new episodes, if you haven't reviewed the podcast on iTunes, I would love for you to take 30 seconds and give us a review. It helps others to find the show. So if you've enjoyed the content or find anything helpful and useful in the conversations we capture here, please take a moment to give us a rating or review on iTunes. I would personally appreciate it. Now, let's jump to today's show. I've had a deep interest in learning of late because I know the advent of AI and other technologies means that we're going to see some dramatic shifts in the workplace. More reskilling, more upskilling will be required because people are not going to be relevant anymore. The skills they have are going to be completely automated in some cases. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. Scary in some cases, honestly. So with that in mind, I actually invited Sam Herring. He's the VP and General Manager for Intrepid but Vital Source to join me and talk about learning as a journey, how to use a mission-focused mindset to encourage learners and drive their performance. It's a really good discussion. We talk about one of the points we talk about actually is this number one metric that I found in some research for learning performance. The number one thing that measures learning performance that learning leaders said, hey, this is how we get measured. And we talk about whether that's right or wrong. I'd love for you to listen to the episode. When you get to that question, take a moment and breathe, pause, think about that. Is it the right one? Is it the wrong metric? I'd love to hear your thoughts. So feel free to comment on this episode on social media, tag me and let me know what you think on Twitter or LinkedIn. Let me know what you think the number one metric should be for learning professionals if we're going to measure their performance. I'd be very curious to hear your thoughts. Now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We're Only Human. This is Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm so glad to have you here. You know, 2019, I've been thinking a lot about it for a long time, and now it's here. And I think that 2019 is the year that learning really levels up. You know, things are moving quickly. The job markets are changing a lot, and people want to talk about that in a recruiting sense, but I think that also matters in a learning sense. That means people are moving jobs, changing a lot, and there's a lot of opportunity to develop and grow new people in that sort of realm. So I think that now is really time to prioritize learning what's going on there. So today, to help us with that, we have with us Sam Herring. He is the VP and General Manager of Intrepid by Vital Source. We're going to talk through some of what he's seeing and offer some really practical advice on how to capitalize on this opportunity. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, Ben. Really happy to be with you today.
Absolutely. Oh, it's going to be fun. We were talking a little before, and I said, hey, this is going to be a chance for two people that really love this stuff to talk about it in depth and fast-paced and all that good stuff. And so I'm really excited personally about the conversation, too, today. So to kick us off, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Oh, thanks, Ben. So my name's Sam, as you've shared, and I'm the co-founder and leader of Intrepid. We're a collaborative learning platform. We were acquired by Vital Source Technologies about a year ago. And Intrepid is, as mentioned, a collaborative learning platform that really focuses on empowering organizations to solve their high-stakes business challenges through engaging and applied learning at scale. Since the acquisition, since we were acquired by Vital Source, I now have this general manager responsibility to lead the overall business for corporate and professional markets, which also includes Vital Source's core technology Bookshelf, which is an e-reader focused on secure content delivery for the extended enterprise. So those are really my areas of responsibility. Outside of the business that I currently run, I previously ran a learning professional services and outsourcing business that we sold to Xerox a few years ago, and I'm also a past chairman of the board of directors of ATD, the leading professional association for learning and development professionals.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, I forgot about the Vital Source connection. The book, my new book was published in December, and I got a link. I'm like, hey, here's how you check out your book on Vital Source. I'm like, hey, I know those guys. That's how cool is that? Like, all my worlds collided. So I thought that was really interesting to connect those things together. So one of the things you mentioned a minute ago was this idea of like engaging learning experiences and really creating these things. One of the things that I think is interesting that you guys have focused on at Intrepid is this idea of learning as a mission or a journey. Can you tell us a little about why that concept appeals to learners today and how employers can capitalize on it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in many ways, you know, the idea of a mission or journey is kind of deeply embedded in our human experience. You know, life as a journey, taking on missions to explore as human beings. And in the work world, it really resonates with our real world experience for how learning actually happens in our work and in our life. And if you take the example of a mission, it really implies that we have a goal to achieve. You know, here's the mission. Should you choose to accept it? And you know, let's say, for example, that I want to start a new company. I want to write a business plan with a compelling pitch for investors. And I'm going to be interested in all kinds of things related to business. I'm really interested in finance and accounting and showing a effective business model, a marketing plan, a really whiz-bang product idea. And so you could think about the disciplines that might be involved, finance, marketing, design thinking. But you don't want that in the abstract. You want to understand those concepts so that you can apply them and create that compelling pitch to investors. So having a targeted mission that brings all that learning together into a practical challenge that is not abstract, that's not away from your work. It is what you want to accomplish. That's why a mission is so compelling to us. And it's why we've really designed our learning platform around that application concept. And I think journeys really are a related idea where, you know, we all know that we learn over time. And so stretching learning experiences out over weeks, months, years are really compelling. And I think this starts to really hit home when you think about the traditional approaches that don't really approach learning this way, where learning is you know, just content that's pushed at you, for example, versus the idea of a mission where it's applied to your work. Or where learning is event-based, you come in, your brain is filled with you know, great content, but it's tied to that particular event, so it's not a journey in that concept. It's not, you don't have that opportunity to have it sink in and apply over time.
The thing that occurred to me as you're talking to the mission thing, years ago I had the chance to visit this right now I'm completely blanking on the name of it, Naval Air Academy. So they take these kids and they put them in there and they have them, they're teaching them how life works on an aircraft carrier. And so as you're walking through inside the building, the walls are all steel. You hear like they pipe in noise, like dripping, you know, dripping water and stuff. So it all feels very normal or feels like that experience. But then they're taking them and assigning them missions. Hey, you've got to go and do a search and rescue mission and take care of these people, you know, find this capsized ship. And they're doing these like real missions, trying to teach them things. That's the thing that occurred to me as you're talking through that, is it's very much, if you think about the mission of doing your job or picking up a new skill or something in those sorts of terms, like I have to go seek this out, complete my objective. It's not so I can check a box and say, you know, I've done these things, but because ultimately there's a bigger impact, right? There's some sort of further goal beyond just saying I've done this thing and now I'm going to move on to the next thing without any sort of thought about the context or the impact or the outcomes related to that. So that's the first thing that kind of popped in my head, thinking about like how even at a young age they're teaching these kids like missions are going to be a key part of how you live and how you work for the rest of your life, whether you call it a mission or you call it a, you know, a task or you call it a whatever. But I think that plays a key role in so many parts of what we do. And honestly, as kind of a nerd, I love, or a geek, whatever the right term is there, I love the idea of thinking about the kind of things you have to do at work as a mission, the things you're kind of trying to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, I think we so often get bogged down in content and in focusing on, you know, what content does the learner need to have, and you know, oftentimes our job is to coach clients and partners to back off. You know, you know, don't overwhelm your learner with content. Think about that mission. Think about that application. Think about the end that you're trying to achieve, you want them to achieve, whether it's building a sales plan or in the example I just shared, like building a business plan. And then think back to, okay, well, what content would be useful to prepare them to execute that mission? And then that's the lens we want to think through. Sometimes it's even interesting to just throw the mission out first and let people kind of struggle with it and then provide, you know, content that helps them think about, oh, okay, I see how I could use design thinking in my business plan, you know. So, but I think a lot of times we overdo it on the content and don't focus nearly enough on the application, which at the end of the day, that's what the learner really needs. They need to perform in the workplace, not regurgitate content.
Yes. Yeah. On week two, lesson five, here's exactly what you said. Okay, that's great, but now go and do it. Make it practical. Make it actionable. So one of the things that occurred to me as I was preparing for the conversation today is that our research that we did on learning content shows that high-performing organizations, those that have better revenue, retention, employee engagement, those positive metrics, those companies are about twice as likely to actually develop a learning strategy and deploy content against that strategy. Kind of go back to what you're saying, right? It's not just about throwing it out there and hoping for the best. Our fingers are crossed, but it's about let's prepare the strategy and then deploy content against that, so that we're making sure and pushing people towards those right objectives. What is your sense on that? Does that resonate? Does you think that's? I mean, do you think that the organizations you've seen that are doing a great job, that are high performing, that those two things are connected, and how they're doing learning strategy, how they're deploying content? I'm kind of curious if that sort of resonates for you.
Absolutely. And first of all, Ben, just I love the research. It's there isn't you have a really unique voice in the space around content, and it's sophisticated, and I think it really resonates with what we hear from the most progressive chief learning officers and learning organizations we work with. And too often we see the non-exemplar organizations trying to find solutions without a learning strategy. And I think that the way that shows up is inquiries about catalogs, because there's sort of a vague business case around quote unquote employee engagement or self-directed learning, and we need to have a catalog of 10,000 video lessons for people to, you know, learn and be in, quote unquote, be engaged, whatever that means. I don't mean to be overly critical. Like, there's certainly a role for self-directed learning and the employee to own that experience and to have an overall engagement strategy that meets that. So that's great. Let's just park that aside. But we don't think that is the starting place that a CEO really cares about. A CEO is going to have a particular set of business challenges or opportunities that they want to capitalize on, and their questions are going to be, what performance is required of my workforce to realize these objectives? What skills? What practice? What application? What collaboration between my people? Who is the target audience? You know, what are their motivations? How are they best reached? And only after you've thought through the business challenge, then those learning strategy questions, then that brings you to the logical point of the content that any learning experiences that need to be deployed to the organization to drive that kind of change. So I think it's absolutely spot on that you need to have that learning strategy in place to deploy the content. It doesn't mean that content needs to be created whole cloth, you know, from scratch, but it does mean that there has to have been some thought between that waterfall of business strategy, learning strategy. Okay, got it. Now I know what I need. I know exactly what I need to procure. And I would guess most times it's not going to be a catalog of like 10,000 different assets to solve particular challenges that an organization is facing.
Yeah. I would agree with you there. There's a place for, hey, I'm curious about XYZ, and I'm going to go and look for that. And thank goodness we have a library where I can dig into those things to my heart's content and learn about those. But in general, that sort of searching and that sort of ad hoc, I'm just curious about this, or I want to know about that, that's not the sort of thing that drives a big picture objective, because otherwise you have to hope randomly that enough of your people are interested in that random topic enough to search it and get smart about it and then improve. And that doesn't make any sense logically to approach that. One thing you said engagement a minute ago, and that's something that popped in my head, and I'd love to get your take on this. So there was a piece of research that the team did this fall at the CLO Summit. I was there and I heard their research team talking about a new study they had done, and they came back and said the number one performance metric that CLOs said their companies held them to was engagement. And I'm curious, I have a take on this, and I am glad to share it, but I'd love to hear how you would respond to that. Does that seem like that fits? If so, I mean, it's how they're responding, it's how they're reporting that, but is that fair? Is that a good metric? Is that the right metric? I'm kind of curious how you'd respond to that.
I take a little bit of a contrarian view. I think of the CLO as the change leader, the activator, in the best circumstances. Like I think the CLO ought to be the CEO's strategy activator. Maybe they're not the person coming up with the corporate strategy, but they are kind of the strategy activator in the organization. And so clearly engagement is a piece of that. You have to win the hearts and minds and market to them, market to the workforce, and show the connection between that business strategy and what's in it for the individual employee. You know, of course, that's always there, the motivation for them. So to the extent that that's what we mean by engagement, yes, I think that's right. Engaging them in the business's strategy and what it takes for the business to be successful. To the extent that we're talking about other things about engagement, broader kind of workforce considerations. Am I happy at work? Do I have a friend at work? Do I like my benefits? Is the ping pong table nice? Would I rather have a foosball table? I think no. That's not what it's about. So that would be my point of view. What are your thoughts, Ben?
I was actually, it's very similar to that one. I always laugh at the ping pong table, at the foosball table, you know, like those comments, because that's what everybody always wants to point to. Like, oh, we have a great culture. We've got beer in the fridge, blah, blah, but we treat people terribly. You're like, anyway, so my view is sort of similar. The research, a lot of data out there says that if Sam is an employee of an organization, then approximately 60 to 70% of Sam's engagement and satisfaction at work is not dependent on learning. It's not dependent on the cool benefits. It's not dependent on any of those things except for your direct manager in that relationship. How well they treat you, if they care about you, if they respect you, if they show you recognition when you do a good job. If they're not doing those things, then it doesn't matter how great everything else is. That only accounts for 30 to 40% of how happy you are at work. And so assuming that, you know, CLO, a learning leader is going to have to be on the hook for something like engagement, that just doesn't make sense logically to me. Again, nobody said that the world is logical. Nobody said that all businesses make good decisions, but that seems like they're putting their money in the wrong place if that's what they're trying to prioritize, because then you get really flashy, like, hey, cool, we got 10,000 courses, you know, maybe that'll engage them. You know, going back to our earlier point, we've got all these things we're throwing out there, and you're chasing the wrong sorts of activities. I love the way that you put that. It's about engaging you with the direction of the business. If that's the kind of engagement they're looking at, and they didn't dig deeper into what that looked like or anything else, this was the first year of the research, and so I've already talked to them about like how to expand that next year, because I'd love to see more of those kind of things. But broadly, engagement is something that's out of learning's control. But I love the idea that you mentioned, though, about this is about engaging you with the direction of the business, how we're going to get there, ultimately how we see you playing a part in that. I mean, that is exciting. That is engaging for people, but that can't just rely on, you know, some learning person to jump in there and say, this is how you're going to make that happen, because that's too big of a job for them to take on themselves.
Yeah, I mean, great things happen when the strategy of the business and the individual's career objectives and career growth opportunities overlap, right? That Venn diagram. And so the individual starts to see, wow, okay, I'm excited about the direction of where the business is going, and wow, I'm going to have a chance to develop my career, develop my skills as part of that. Everyone wins. I think something you pointed out, which is just a light bulb went off on, was with the Gallup research and so on around the manager's role being so critical. I guess the piece where the CLO has an incredible role around engagement there is around leader development, and to the extent that they're really doing a great job developing leaders and not just manager skills but leaders, then that is a true driver of engagement for the organization. So I think there we could see some really targeted focus around engagement for the CLO to the extent that they're successfully developing leaders, and probably why we see so many CLOs having that as one of their top responsibilities, if not their top responsibility.
Yes, year after year after year, right? That's still a priority for them ongoing. For the ones that, again, they're thinking about it in that sort of perspective. It's not about creating someone that knows don't do these things or bad things happen from a compliance standpoint as a manager. It is truly about being, here's how you lead people and guide them and grow them and direct them so that they are worth more tomorrow to the company than they are today. And that's ultimately what that goal is all about. So if you had to sit down, you do get to sit down right now. You're having a chance to kind of share some of your ideas, your perspectives. What practical advice would you give for the learning, for the HR leaders that are in our audience that can help them improve the performance of their learning initiatives? If you're going to give them some guidance, it doesn't have to be just one little nugget. You know, whatever you'd like to share, anything, fair game. I'd love for you to open the floor for you now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think first, and this won't be surprising based on comments I've made so far, is focus on the right problems. You really believe that your time is precious, and you've been chosen as the strategy activator, as the change leader, as a learning leader in the organization. So what problems in your business are worth solving? What is it atop the CEO, or I'm using CEO kind of as a representative of senior business leader in general, what's on top of their priority list, and go after those, go after the problems that matter. Enlist your leaders to be a sponsor, you know, when you land on those initiatives that are key, and get them to, you know, get them involved, get them to have skin in the game and personally message why your learning initiative matters, because it's theirs, right? And you shouldn't be working on it otherwise. So that's the first, is focus on the right problems. Second is focus on what matters to learners. So again, that kind of Venn diagram of what's in it for the, what's, why is it important for the business, why is it important for learners? How are your solutions that and initiatives you're rolling out providing, you know, an intensely relevant experience for them? You know, how does that content, how do those topics really help them get work done? Back to the whole mission discussion, like make it intensely relevant to them. What are they struggling with? Is it account plans, business plans, personal development plans, wherever those are? Make sure you've got that intense relevancy, and you're eliminating any distance between work and learning through missions and collaboration with fellow learners. A third, not surprising, is then make sure that the design that you have is really designed for maximum engagement and collaboration. Experiences should be simple, elegant, mobile first, you know, to be able to draw learners in, and it should give them opportunities to reflect and really emphasize peer-to-peer collaboration. We learn from each other. We learn from conversations like you and I are having together, Ben. I mean, the way we kind of riffed on engagement and leadership, and, you know, like those things don't happen in isolation in the same way that, you know, just a catalog of e-learning that doesn't apply. You don't get that opportunity for team-based work and collaboration and so on. Fourth thing I'd say, you got to be a marketer. You have to sell the value to your learners, to their managers, obviously to senior leaders if you're bringing in sponsors. It's not over when the course, you know, launches. You have to market the learning experience as well. Communicate, sharing highlights, and just engage. And I'll be honest, like, we do often run into prospective customers who are not good customers for us, and they just want something turkey, easy. I want to buy this, turn it on, and walk away, and somehow I want to magically achieve the business objectives that are coming down from the CEO with some kind of like turnkey solution that's kind of like just check the box and move on. And, you know, life, I don't think life works that way. You know, it's hard work. You've got to, you have a job in terms of being the torchbearer, the marketer, the evangelist of this. And you have to really be bought in with that. And, you know, I think a final thought would be to really make it matter for learners in terms of if there's an opportunity for credentialing, for badging, you know, if raise the bar and award your audience with some kind of credential, if that makes sense. So those are some thoughts that we've learned along the way with working with many customers.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. I love the ideas there, especially the one about being a marketer, selling the value of it. I made a note, and I always make notes during conversations because I love kind of going back and revisiting the things I might have missed. But this one I got, and like all bold highlights and quotes around everything else, like after the launch, when you hit go and that course launches or that new thing you've been planning and designing and developing, once you hit launch, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. You know, that's just, you're like at the midpoint of your journey. You've got a lot more work getting people excited about it, getting them through it, capturing input and understanding how it's actually impacting the business, those kind of things, going beyond just, okay, we've launched that course, now let's move on to the next one. It's not just about pushing out more and more content. You know, we've talked about the place of catalogs and things like that. There's just a ton of learning content out there. But if you're creating it, if you're designing it, you're delivering it, you've got to go back and you've got to measure the impact. You've got to understand how well it's doing. And I think having that comfortability there, having that awareness of the data that you can gather and thinking about it from that perspective, because ultimately, if not today, then tomorrow, you're going to have to sell, like, this course worked or this course didn't work, and we understand how or why. You know, this learning asset delivered what we thought it would, it didn't. And being able to gather that data, being really comfortable with that, is going to help you in every single one of those conversations. So I'm definitely on board with the ideas you shared, especially that one. So I would say to everyone else, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to follow some of those ideas, take those, put them into practice, really good and practical sorts of ideas and things from you. And I really appreciate that, Sam. If someone wants to learn more about you, the work that Intrepid's doing, the work that Vital Source is doing, what's the best place to do that?
Well, I'd say check out our website. That'd probably be the easiest way to go. And we really embrace the ethic or the philosophy of educating and sharing back what we learned from our customers and our partners. And one of the ways we did that, just as a quick side, is last year we created an open course for learning leaders called Build Your Digital Learning Blueprint. And that ran over a 3-week period. But if you're interested, you know, if anyone's interested in looking at this, we could contact us through our info at Vital Source page, and we can set you up with access to that. So you could really get a sense of like how do you build a digital learning plan, right? And at the same time, you're getting exposure to our platform and how we kind of take these ideas and manifest them in software, you know, in experience. So other things on our site: case studies around solving different business challenges, articles, ebooks, and so on. We have a very active blog. We're posting very often on that blog on a variety of topics, of course, webinars and events that we're speaking at. So those are some of the things that come to mind. You can follow me and Intrepid on LinkedIn and Twitter. And of course, you know, if you have a high stakes business challenge where you think, you know, the kind of ideas we've been talking about today are of interest, you know, just reach out to me, direct message me on LinkedIn or Twitter, or drop me an email anytime.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll make sure we get a link in the show notes to the best place on the site so that people can go and check that out, check out the course. Because I think that digital course, goodness gracious, the course that you guys did, the open course, is a really interesting way to help them, again, not just kind of see some of the tools and technology out there that they could look at, but also to understand how those things are changing, and just as a way to kind of give back to the community and offer some support to people who are hearing a lot about digital and everything else and not sure, like, what is this and how does it apply to us and why should we even care? You know, I'm in learning. I'm not in technology. Well, maybe you should care. So I think that's a really, really great piece and a resource, and I'll make sure and share that one out. Goodness, I want to say thank you. This has been great, Sam. I've had a fun conversation. It's been so awesome to share some time with you, to understand what you're focusing on, what you care about, and I really, really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Likewise. Thanks, Ben.
Absolutely. To everybody else, thank you for joining us on We're Only Human. I am Ben Eubanks, your host, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.